Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP. This crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes. I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritz, I was at like 10 o'clock last night or so, whatever time JT hit that home run off Chapman. I'm sitting there. I was thinking about the yo. I'm like, this is going to be the best series of the season. Like, what a way for this series to go. We get the awesome catcher's interference, never seen it before thing. We get the Sanchi complete game, 12 strikeout gem. And then we're going to get this walk-off win somehow. It's going to be amazing. Not to be. Good. 2-3, not to be. How you doing, pal?
First off, you always take 2-3.
I'm not complaining. I just was ready to, like, really bring it.
I know. Yeah. And this is the problem with hope.
Why do we do it? Why do we do it to ourselves?
It's never easy. It's never easy. You always take it down a notch. Always when things get too high, got to bring it back down.
Yeah, I'm not great at that. You might know that about me.
I know. No, it's good.
I'm a get high and keep it high kind of guy.
I know. And I'm always a lower expectations.
No doubt.
Well, they're not making a trade.
That's good.
Yeah. No, so David Robertson's the big move.
I heard Austin Hayes is available. You know, you can do that.
Dude.
Oh, wait, he's not. He's hitting too well for the Reds.
First off, on Austin Hayes, not to derail the podcast, they should have just re-signed him in the offseason. Just have a take. It was right there. They should have.
We were saying it too.
I know.
I mean,
it got
back
to a point where it's like, if you're not going to re-sign a righty Just sign Austin Hayes.
Yeah.
We're worried about bad PR? I mean, what are we talking about? Anyway, yeah, it was an annoying one. Obviously, the Lizardo thing, if JT catches the ball, that doesn't happen.
They win the game. I mean, no, they don't necessarily win the game, but, like, they don't.
They win the game.
That, I think so, too. That inning doesn't happen. Like, that, and especially because, like, I mean, how often do you see that, especially with JT, but just in general? It's really, like, that's not the easiest play in the world, but it's not.
Well, Major League Baseball players make it easy.
That's my point. Yeah. What I was about to say, it's not the easiest play in the world, but it is so rare. Like, every once in a while, you'll see a ball bounce off a catcher's mitt or something. They won't quite be able to get to it. Like, it's so rare that it just, like, loses it like that. Like,
yeah.
And it was a freaking killer, man.
I know.
It was a and Lizardo, like, an eighth of an inch off and all these pitches. Like, it wasn't like he was all over the place. Like, and I do think they were balls. Like, I don't. I actually thought Dom Bynum was pretty good last night. Like, he was pretty locked in. Mm-hmm. Like, but they were so close. It was like, and then he finally throws it over the plate, and of course,
gets smoked.
Crushed.
And people are like showing that video of Alex Cora. Maybe real. I don't think that's what he was doing. Like, people are saying
tipping pitches.
I think that's a little. It's a little quick to be like Cora's sitting there saying this, and then Austin got relayed to second base, and then he's got to relay to the, and then a second later, I think that's a little far fetched.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I feel a couple things. Like, Lizardo, what actually annoyed me was he has to get Marcelo Meyer out. Like, Marcelo Meyer's a ninth hitter, he's a lefty that should not
the
be able to
rookie,
touch.
Yeah.
He just
he's overmatched, right? He'll be a good player, I think, but he is overmatched.
Right. And so JT has to make the catch. All that is a big qualifier. I understand that. But this is a fear of mine with Lizardo is the mental toughness and being able to bear down and get that out. And it's actually the biggest thing that I've been so impressed with Chris is that Chris, a couple years ago, was like Lizardo, where you would see it, and he would start melting down. I remember that game out in Arizona where, like, he had the bases loaded, and I think he, like, walked two straight guys. It was very similar to that. And then you have Chris Sanchez, the maturation of him. I mean, remember the Pirate start where he's dominant, but then he extended him one inning too far, and it kind of fell apart really quickly. Then you saw the maturation towards what happened to the Red Sox. He gets to start the ninth against a lefty after a huge emotion in the eighth. I'm sitting there saying, don't do it.
That emotion after the eighth, I mean, that was a big out, and he was pumping his fist. He was into it. I was surprised he came back out too.
And I was like, okay, well, I understand that he's dominated Roman Anthony. You let him get through Anthony, and then you yank him, and he kept him in there.
And good for Sanchez, good for Topper. I mean, that was neat to watch.
Totally. So, and
it is real quick, it just is crazy how, like, it used to be I feel like we celebrate complete games now like it's a no-hitter.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe I just saw a complete game.
So Walker is still up because he's the least sleepy kid in America.
Oh, no.
It's pretty ridiculous. No. He's just running around the house.
Yeah.
And I said, Walk, sit down. Because Chris Sanchez is about to do something.
Buddy.
You may never see it again. A complete game. Yeah, sit down. Come on. This is the moment you're going to talk about for years. Yeah. Look at this. A complete game. Yeah, so I totally agree. I actually did do that. Like, I was like, you gotta sit down.
No, I felt juices like it was like a no hitter or something. It's so crazy to feel that way for just a complete game these days. When I do, I get so excited when they're gonna go. I'm like, it's coming out.
Well, and I'm always you always look back and you're like, well, didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
Because when it starts going bad, but in the moment, it's hard not to be like, it's hard not to start welling up a little bit at a complete game. So, but that's where, like, Lizardo, and that's what I think has always held him back. He's always had this stuff. But what you're starting to see more now is I think he gets in his own head a little bit. I think that, and what's concerning is we talk about Lizardo the pen.
Well, that was my first thought. It's like, well, what does that mean for the playoffs? I mean, if you're talking about bringing him into the biggest of spots.
There's two things. One, he might stink out of the stretch.
Yeah, we have no idea.
So it seems like he has a problem pitching out of the stretch. It's when everything derails.
Yeah.
So guess what happens in the postseason?
You're pitching out of the stretch.
Pitching out of the stretch. So that's one thing. And second, like, we're tasking him with getting the biggest outs in the game, possibly being like an Andrew Miller type. I don't know if he can do it. Like, I don't know if he can. He needs to get back to wherever he was. And, hey, people said at the time, I poo-pooed it. I still mostly poo-poo it. But maybe leaving him in the Brewers start did screw him. Like, from a mental standpoint, maybe that's what it was. I still find that far-fetched. Like, I would hope that we'd be able to put that behind us. But he was invincible before that. He was pitching to a 2.05 ERA. It was ridiculous. So I think the Lizardo concerns are fair. But then I also have concerns about Ranger. And then we start talking about...
Yeah, and Nola still isn't back. I mean, we've no idea what that guy's going to look like when he comes back. You know, and we've talked about this last few pods where, you know, and look, Wheeler and Sanchez at the top are still...
As good as it gets.
It gives you a chance in every series because you have those guys pitching the first two games. But, man, this thing that we thought was this invincible, like... the one part of this thing that's truly special, that makes them different, that gives them a real chance, like, it's starting to fall apart in front of us. It's not a fan, Jack.
No,
huge fan of this.
No, well, because, like, they are only a 95-win baseball team because of a rotation that is otherworldly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about this team versus 11, you know, and that's what it was. So, yeah, I am trying to... relax on like Ranger. Lizardo, I have a pretty good sense of where we're at with Lizardo. He's super Jekyll and Hyde-ish. Like, I mean, he was looking innings.
He was first 5 2/3 innings, essentially. He looked or 4 2/3 innings. I mean, he looked awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, but then that there's.
Was it the second strung out the side?
It was like, beautiful.
He was into it. Like, he's.
I was so back.
I know.
I was so back.
I didn't
even see that loss coming.
I know.
You know?
I didn't either. I really didn't. Again, I was ready to come in here. Even when they were down and then GG at the home, I'm like, oh, we're going to win. Like, I was actually, oh, we're going to win guy in that moment.
Yeah, never do that.
I know. I've learned better.
When Stott hit the home run, I was like, there's no shot. They're losing tonight. Like, they're just not going to lose. Speaking of the JT home run. So, I know the home run in Houston happened. But that really felt like the first big hit that JT's like.
Oh yeah,
had
maybe since then. So I think the double in Game One of the World Series should get more credit. I think that was the bigger hit of the two. But yeah,
what are you talking? I mean, it was a go ahead home run, an extra inning.
Well, not the bigger hit of the two. I mean, the better piece of hitting. You're right. Yeah, it was a go. You're right. Yeah, the home run was more important. I mean, but the double. So I got him confused. It was the double that was first, and that's why I was thinking. I thought it was the double in extra innings. The homer in extra innings.
Of course, the right field.
Yeah, well, I remember to right field. Off the double was to right field too.
Off of.
Is it Presley?
No, it was Garcia. It was Luis Garcia.
I've blocked some of that out.
I have not. I was there.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot you were in the building. I didn't go to.
You want to talk about? I'm not a bleep talker.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like it. Because you know why I don't like it. It's because it usually comes back to bite me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like putting myself in that situation at all.
It's not a great situation.
No, it's not. But when you have a few, and JT hits a home run. Oh, we're getting chesty. And you have Ike Reese behind you?
Oh, yeah. You got a little safety blanket.
Exactly right.
It makes it very different.
You kidding me?
It makes it very different.
But it really felt like the biggest hit of JT's
He's just been so dormant for so long. Yeah.
Never gets the big hit.
Yeah.
And I will
say. Well, since 22. He had some hits since 22, but it does feel like you're right. Since 22, it's just been nothing.
Well, and the other thing that was a takeaway from that is the idea of trading for Chapman, who I would still trade for.
Sure, but I would be terrified of having Chapman.
But that is a precursor to what happens to him in the postseason.
Yeah.
And what would also drive me nuts is, who is that for him? Marsh? He got Marsh out, and he did like his stare down thing.
Uh-huh.
If you let up a game tying home run or a go ahead home run in a playoff game, and then you stare down like you're something, it would be seeing red.
Nope. Sunday we will be doing our perfect deadline pod.
Yeah.
Don't make a trade before then, Dave. Okay, give us a little break, you know.
But I could really use a trade.
We could use a trade though. You know, we're down to do an emergency pod. That'd be cool too.
Yeah.
I think I've migrated over, and as we're talking about, like I was going back and forth, the reliever and the bat. We all have. I just think it's so clear they need a bat. Right? I mean, they need a reliever too. We've talked about this, but it's just the closer we get, the more it happens. I'm watching Duran. I'm like, just go get one of these guys. Go, whether it's Kwan or Duran or whoever. Buxton doesn't look like he's gonna trade. Like, go get a real bat. Like, go get a real bat.
Yeah, and I just think the way the market is shaping, and this was always gonna happen. But I feel like the closer price is just so insane.
It seems insane.
Versus what the value really is of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I really want to go send, like, Aiden and other top-ish type? Let's say to get Class A, Duran, or Felix.
Aiden and Abel
is the start of a,
I agree,
of a package. Do I really want to do that?
I don't.
Or do I want to trade a little bit less for, like, Bednar? Or, like, one of these other... And the other thing is that just see if Kirkering can do it. and get someone in the middle there.
He's still 142 away or whatever.
No, he would be 119 away.
What?
It was 123, right?
No, it's 143.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 100. I'm pretty sure it's 100. He's 100.
Well, you were doing the bits. So yes. You would know better than I was.
95% sure that it's 120 some away. Because I think the record's 123.
I thought it was 143.
It actually shouldn't not be that hard to break. But
it shouldn't be.
But for this
it really
team,
shouldn't be. Well, you're right.
Okay, because Kirkring was warming up in the Sanchez inning, and I was like, yes, I get to tweet it.
Yeah, but they don't do it anymore. What? He never closes.
No. Well, yeah. they haven't totally.
Maybe not like save situations.
Like,
yeah.
Like a vintage save situation. But like if Kirkring can do it, just see if he can do it and then get someone.
But the problem is with Kirkring being their only reliever that we would call good, right?
Oh, Strom's heating up.
Strom's been better.
Up.
No, he has. But I'm saying, like, the only one we, like, fully trust is Kirkring. Like, we just know, and I think if Topper feels that way, we know he's not going to make him the closer. He's going to use him in the eighth. He's going to use him in the seventh. He's going to use him in the ninth. He's going to play them. Like, Rob Thompson has made it so. Like, I even think if they brought a Bednar guy in or whatever, I don't think he would just use him as the closer. I think he would use him in the high leverage situations when it mattered. Even, honestly, I think that, like they did with Chapman, Boston did. Like, I think that even if they trade for Duran or some big closer guy, like, I think there's the potential that in a spot in the eighth inning of a playoff game, he goes to Batista instead of in the closing spot because that's the way. That's the way Topper manages. I'm not ripping it. I'm just saying I think that's the way he goes about his business.
Well, of course. And it would work out because then he could go Kirkring ninth if you were in that scenario.
Right.
So it does. Listen, the whole matchup thing does in general make sense.
Of course.
It does.
Yes.
If you have enough. The thing is, they need enough arms to wear.
And we also know that some guys can't handle a ninth. Like, it's just, we've seen it. We've seen it too many times to know that there is something to the mental part of the game. There are just some guys who are not built for that. Like, it is what it is, you know? So I do think that matters.
Like when Rich Doobie said, did Ryan Madsen take a class on how to close games?
Yeah.
It's an all-timer.
It's
an all-timer. Yeah. What a fun find. It was like I was in the middle of, like, writing the chapter on 11, and I feel like my eyes must have lost, like, I should have worn blue light glasses.
Oh, yeah.
I was just glazing over stuff at, like, 5 in the morning. But I just remember randomly stumbling on this Rich Doobie quote heading into the season when they named Contreras the starter. And Doobie saying, because Matt's been pissed about it because he's heading to a contract year and Scott Boras is his agent. He's like, I want to close.
Yeah.
And Rich Doobie going, like, did Ryan Madsen take a class on how to close? Like, he can't close.
It's so good.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, yeah, I totally agree. I am so much more in the mindset of, like, I'm okay trading the prospects if it gets a big bat.
Me too.
Like, I would rather take a shot on, like, a Suarez and then, like, an Eugenio Suarez.
Mm-hmm.
And
I assumed as much, yes. You're talking about bats.
Not Robert Suarez, and I'm not trading Suarez.
Yes.
But
it's funny but just with the closer thing, too, that you could have been talking about a closer. Then.
Well, I could also have been talking about Duran, and then you wouldn't know if I'm talking about Jaron Duran or Yoan
Duran.
Too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we could do it all over the place.
All over the place.
Great.
So, but I would rather trade for a higher-end bat and a lower end reliever than a higher end reliever and a lower end bat.
I totally agree with you.
Like,
100% agree with you.
I'm really, I am opening up to the idea of a Eugenio. Like, I mean,
the dude just keeps hitting home. It's like every day. It's like another bomb. What do you have, 3 the other day?
I've long been like, it's the emptiest 30 some home runs in the league.
But except it's like 40.
I will take an empty 30 some.
He might have 50 this year, buddy.
He should. Yeah. I mean, he's at 36.
He's been close before. He's been in the mid-40s before. He's like a real deal. And this is not like someone just popping off. Like, Eugenio Suarez has hit a lot of home runs in Major League Baseball. Like, he is an established power right-handed bat. Like, established.
Well, I think I saw some tweet when he hit his 300th that he should just sign with the Rockies and
just rake.
And just try to get to 500 and have the most ridiculous Hall of Fame case of all time.
It would be. That'd be amazing.
Dude, Eugenio Suarez is absolutely not a Hall of Famer.
Nowhere in the hemisphere of a Hall of Famer. Not even, like, close to the close level of all. He's I don't even know if he's the Hall of Very Good. I guess he must be.
But if he gets to 500 home runs, you got to make a case.
Yeah.
It would be pretty insulting. But regardless, I can't tell. I can't tell what makes the Phillies better. Is it just getting the best player? Like, I think if I was ranking the best players available semi, Like, I think Quan, Duran. And Duran.
I think they're the top two for me. If you don't include Buxton, because he's probably not getting traded, I think those are the top two guys for me. Of the guys, look, and every year, like, Austin Hayes wasn't mentioned last year as a potential trade guy, and then he gets traded. Always there are guys who were not expecting to get traded, but of the names that have been out there, I think those are the, like, bullet points top two.
But would you rather get, because you're probably going to have to trade, obviously, a lot for those guys, or less for Suarez?
I'd rather trade less for Suarez. I think Suarez is a better fit, too. I mean, how much have we talked about right-handed power bat? Like, he is the right-handed power bat on the market.
He is. He is. But if you did get Quan or Duran,
they're under control.
Well, they also lengthened the lineup at the beginning, too, where it was with Stott.
Look, and they're just better baseball players. Like, Quan and Duran are also both really good center fielders as well. I think
Quan's gonna be a corner guy.
Yeah, a left. Excuse me, but he's a good left fielder. That's what I meant to say. They're good outfielders, is what I meant to say. Yes,
they are outfielders that can hit and field.
That's my point. Like, they are just good baseball players all around. And look, they need a power bat. But if you're talking about guys, if Stevens Kwan's gonna come in here and get on base 35% of the time, and you know, hit 280, 290, like that's
and such not a strike out.
It's such a valuable thing for this team right now. So I look. And again, we've talked about the Steve Pierce thing so many times. Like, it really could be a guy like that who ends up making a difference, where it's not the top-tier guys that get traded. But it's just to the point we're hitting on, like, they just need production. Like, they need production. They need to get rid of one of the holes in the lineup with someone who's not a hole in the lineup. Like, that's it. It's that simple.
Yeah. And as you get closer to the deadline, you have your idea of who these guys are, right? So with Duran, I think, before I started, like, digging into it, it was like Duran to me reminds me of, like, what Rollins was at the top of the lineup. Like, spark plug, hits the ball hard, gap to gap, we'll steal a bag, like, fiery type.
He's
right?
definitely a fiery the way he plays his game.
Sure. My fear with Duran is strikeouts going up.
He's not as consistent a hitter as Quan.
And he really struggles against left-handed pitching. Like, they've pretty much turned him into a platoon player versus lefties. He played last night.
That's not good.
No, well, when you're trading as much as you are for him, that is, like, I think the Duran package starts with Tait. I think that's what if they want to go after Duran, I think that's who they need. I think that's who they would want. So that's a concern for me with Duran. Quan, what concerns me about Quan, not much, because I love Stephen Kwan.
Just a good ball player, man.
Love Stephen Kwan. Yeah. Has the wrist thing this year. His slugging percentage is in the 300s, which...
Is it that low?
Which is not great.
Is it really?
He has 6 home runs on the year. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that
low. He had 14 last year, and that was probably...
I mean, he's been getting on base. He's been doing all that other stuff, but wow.
Yeah. Wow. 300, now it's a high threes, but still, I would...
Not great.
For one of the,
not what you want. Yeah.
For what, again, for what you're probably going to have to trade up.
Well, it means his OPS is probably in the sixes or the sevens, the low sevens, because I think he's got an on base of 350, 360 or something like that. So, I mean, that's a 730, 740 OPS, something like that. I mean, that's not good enough for a guy. If you're going to trade what you're going to trade for him, you want a guy who's an 800 OPS or better. I mean, I know it's just one to one, but, like, in theory, you want that type of bat.
Yeah, so his slug is 392 and his OPS is 742.
Yeah, that's exactly where I guess it'd be, 730, 740, right in there, based on what you were saying.
Only 11 stolen bases. So
not running a ton.
Not running a ton. He had a cortisol shot in his wrist. I guess Stephen Vogt said, you should play in the All-Star game. And then he missed the first two games after the All-Star game.
Great.
Knowing that he had the wrist thing. But if that happened here, I think we would
crush Stephen Vogt.
Yeah. More important play in the All-Star game than
my
team.
Fire the manager. What are we doing
here?
Yeah. I mean, people are ready to fire Rob Thompson for, like, a bullpen decision. Give me if that had happened. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. And last night clearly sped up on Thompson with that inning. And so would you have
gotten Lizardo out quicker in that spot?
Yeah. I mean,
I would have too.
Hindsight being 2020.
I know it's not that easy. And, like,
and they don't have, like, great options.
Well, that's the other thing.
People are like, they had a fully rested pen. Of who?
And even then, it wasn't like that fully rested. I mean, like, I know that, I guess, because of Sanchez, but they still had guys go in game one, like, for Wheelers. I mean, Strom and Kirkering pitching those in that game. Like,
but I also think when he does stuff like that, it is also about learning about the pitcher.
Yeah, seeing if Lizardo can battle through it. Yeah. I think there's an argument to be made that learning what situations Lizardo can handle in big spots is as important as winning an individual game. You know what I mean?
Now it's tough. Is that It actually is kind of refreshing having – we've had a division race this entire year.
Dude, it's back and forth, especially because it does seem like they've kind of lined up where – I mean, look, the Phillies really had a chance over the last 40 games to gain ground. The Mets really played bad baseball for a while, and the Phillies just kept getting in their own way, you know? And the Mets did the same thing earlier when the Phillies were struggling. So it's really – they've kind of really, like, matched each other this season. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. So, yeah, the deadline is just...
And it's more fun. Than it's
way more fun. Yeah. Like, come on, man. We're back and forth.
Yeah, and it's also like we've done this with the Braves. Like, enough already. Yeah. Like, it's more fun with the Mets.
The voodoo...
It feels fresh. I hate the Mets more now. Like, it's good.
Yeah, the voodoo Braves thing is over, it seems like. They,
They're in fourth place, man.
I know.
The Miami Marlins are right in the Braves.
Playing good ball?
Let's go.
Playing good ball.
Yeah, playing good ball. They're like 10 games under.
Don't care.
Playing good ball.
I love the... I love looking at Lindor and his... Over 30 streak, which is currently going on. Batting average down to 240s.
Struggling.
Hate to see it. Hate to see it.
It's tough.
Hate to see it. So, but yeah, the Durant thing, the Kwan thing, semi-concerning. Suarez just, I mean, playing at a ridiculous level. And I just don't know.
Yeah, it's you're trading for him like while he's on like the heater of heaters.
Sure.
It's like if you were trading for Suarez even 2 weeks ago, you probably get him for less than you're going to get him for now. Which is silly cuz teams don't think that way in baseball. They're smart enough to know about long term and you know, sample size and all that, but like sometimes when a guy's just on a friggin' heater, like.
And the other thing is that with him, I mean, the Yankees need him. Like that.
Oh yeah, he'll be in demand again because of what we said before. Like he's really the right-handed power bat on the market. Like if Buxton's not there, like again, people could be a trade we're not talking about. But there are no other like real right-handed power bats that are being talked about.
Well, especially none that have 36 home runs.
Well, yeah, I mean he's like an elite power bat.
Pretty good third base.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they did get him. I wonder
how they would shake it out
like
from there.
Schwarber, I guess, goes back to left, and they do a rotating DH thing with like. Schwarber and Eugenio
and Suarez and have both. I mean, who's a better third baseman?
So, did I tell you what? After seeing Kemp out there the last goal,
give me Alec. I can't love Otto Kemp,
ball player,
tough at third.
Yeah,
tough.
Get the second base.
Tough, yeah. Left. He might be a better left. He's played third. Like, how is that? He might be a better left fielder than he's at third base. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Wow, he's been the base of his career.
Well, because third base is way more.
I know it's a way tougher position. I'm just, you know, he is overmatched at third base.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. So I think Suarez is. I guess it's probably Boehm. I think Suarez was really good at it, but I think he's slowing down now.
Yeah,
he's getting older.
Shout out to Alec.
Yeah,
we can even talk about that for real. Yeah, that is.
Kind of wish he would have developed more as a hitter.
Oh, well, no, I'm not giving him credit for it. I'm not saying like, yay, Alec Boehm, you're awesome. I'm just saying I can't believe that we're actually having a conversation about him being a better fielder than anyone, you know?
I would probably trade Boehm to get Suarez.
Oh, in a second.
Like, I just get, you know, cut ties.
Now, to be fair, look, again, it's the lineup and how you construct and all that, but, like, you'd rather have Alec Boehm bat than Kepler, right? I mean, you would. But, like, it's not one-to-one, but I'm just saying I agree with you. I would trade Alec Boehm to get Suarez, but at the same time, I'm also like, Alec Boehm is better than some of these other options.
Well, I would rather Boehm Suarez make the swap there and then get a real left fielder.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about Kepler. I brought this up the other night.
DFA.
Well,
I can't say.
Hold on.
Hold on
for one second.
Just don't like him.
When he almost hit the home run in like the ninth or whatever last
before
night.
Before he struck out, you mean?
Well, yeah, earlier in the game, I guess. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the actual deep fly ball. Not a foul ball. Yeah, yeah, deep fly. It wasn't that close. It was like
a foot
away from the warning. I agree. Off the but he was like a foot in front of the warning track when he caught it. But it was to right to it was deep.
I was happy it didn't go out. I don't want him.
I felt bad. I was like, I'll take the homer, but like I don't have to tweet like yay Kepler. I don't have to like go like I had the same thought, man. How messed up is that?
I don't want him to fool them in the next 7 days into thinking they have something there. Like he's gonna start going off.
Yeah.
Just go away. just go away. That was something I was thinking.
I almost turned the game off at the end when he was up. I was like that's how little faith I had in Kepler to come through in that spot. I almost turned it off. Instead, I kept it on and watched him strike out. What a shock.
Yeah.
I came this close to just, I was so tired too. And at that point, I'm annoyed that I stayed up. I was like, oh, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. I'm getting no sleep tonight. And I was like, I've got to watch Max Kepler in this game. And I almost turned it off, but I didn't.
You didn't. You stayed up for that extra minute.
I know.
Like a true warrior.
I really did.
Yeah.
You
really grinded it out.
I know. Plus, can we be honest? We, as a duo, were grinding it out. Elliot, nonstop with the text last night during the game.
Yeah, what'd you think about that?
Did
you like my responses?
Yes. They were very funny.
There was none?
Yes. I knew exactly what you were doing there. He was a barrage of tags. Did he have any ridiculous? I think there was one ridiculous.
He said the infielder should wear a helmet.
That's what it was. And yeah. I sent a picture of John Arnold.
Of course. Yes. Of course. Which there's no way he had any idea who that is.
No idea.
Who that is. What do you think about like a I wish I had the confidence or the belief that they could be as creative as the Braves got in 21. But it's almost like they should just
like Jock and Eddie Rosario and doing all those type of like lower radar
Solaire, Duvall.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just taking,
look, it's kind of what the Dodgers did last year.
Just take a bunch of
shots.
Take a shot on Luis Robert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the problem is I don't know that like all those guys we just talked about cost very little in the yeah, I mean, some
if
of the guys
they
just picked
the
up off. I think Solaire they picked up off the street.
Solaire they did trade for,
did
but
they?
It wasn't like they traded. He was batting 186.
Okay, but
he was
like almost, it was like a trade. He was going to be DFA'd and they trade like those,
yeah,
that
yeah,
type
yeah.
Is it. I mean, and look, I don't think he should cost as much, but it does. Like all the stuff you're hearing out of the White Sox is that they've got packages for Robert and it's not enough.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like,
and he's heating up right
so
now.
So I don't think you could just like, you know, I like what you're going. And it's, look, we keep bringing it up, but it's for a reason. Whether it's Steve Pierce, Eddie Rosario was the NLCS MVP for them, Jorge Soler, the World Series MVP. Those were two guys who, to our point, all intents and purposes, picked up off the scrap heap.
Tommy Edman last
year.
Yeah,
exactly. That's my point. Like, I do think that, and look, I want them to make a big trade. I want them to get a real bat. But I think more often than not, the trades at the deadline that end up being big parts of World Series winning teams are usually the lower radar moves. They just are.
They totally are. They totally are. Now, for as much as we talk about Steve Pierce in the 18th, I think we talk about the 18 Red Sox a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Dombrowski thing. It makes sense. Like,
I also, for some reason, I really locked in
you
on that
team. Love them in the moment. So we were doing pods then. And I just remember doing pods with you and you coming in like, waxing poetic about the way they hit and like they spray the ball over. This is the type of baseball I want to watch. Like Alex,
who's
Cora
their GM,
the greatest manager I've ever seen
in
my
Alex
life.
Alex Cora was unbelievable in 18.
Yeah, that I have vivid memories of sitting in that old where we recorded the Bryce Harper pod, that studio in the old at 400 Market. And that I have vivid memories of just sitting in there with you and you just like going off about how much you love the 2019 Red Sox. This is like a real thing.
Again, if the Phillies ever made me so mad that I had to quit, which would be shocking at this point, given my career.
You've gone through a lot with them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they could do at this point to push you away. They've tried really hard.
I know. It would probably take a lot.
Yeah.
The Fanatic would probably have to kick Walker.
I know.
Dude, last night, by the way, we're outside watching the game. Beautiful couple nights to sit outside and watch a game.
Dude, so I was at the game on Tuesday, the Sanchez game. It was a perfect night. Even like the pregame, like there was like a gust of wind. Like it was perfect.
The CBP sunsets were great this week. Oh,
amazing.
Man, you talk a little pink hue in the
sky? Except for JT, apparently.
Right, too high. The high sky.
You can't see it.
But you want to talk about a pretty insane decision. I would love to know whose decision it was that, hey, you know what we should do? We should mic up a mascot that doesn't talk.
I know.
And like Ravage is like playing along like, oh, you're a voice in the sky.
I know.
It's like, we don't need that.
I know. On the flip side, I do think, and this is a very cold take, I think this is, sometimes we can all just agree on something. The Coldplay Kiss Cam Fanatic thing, maybe the funniest thing the Fanatic has ever done. Like up there. I mean, that was one of the great Fanatic bits of all time.
Yeah.
Like the timing of it, the next day it was all perfect. And like the camera coming to them and the talking.
Yeah.
Like it was just really good.
Yeah,
like
he's the best. I mean, there's
the reason
why.
He's the best.
There's the reason why he's the best.
30, 40, whatever years in, 50 years in, like he's still evolving, you know, reinventing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But they were interviewing the Fanatic, and
he just then said,
"I know."
They were interviewing the Fanatic. Boom,
yeah.
Joke.
Yeah. And Walker like was the full like inches away from the screen,
eyes all
like,
wide.
Like, Fanatic. So that was special.
There is nothing that I mean the kids' joy.
Oh yeah.
Every time Fanatic comes on screen, like Zoe, because Zoe has gotten the opportunity to go down to a game and meet the Fanatic. And the fanatic threw popcorn for her because that was her favorite thing when she would watch the videos, the do the popcorn thing. And she still says to this day, the fanatic comes in and she goes, he threw popcorn for me. No. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. He did. And then she'll go, I love hugging him. He's so soft. Nice. I'm like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. Like, so keep this energy.
Before kids, I obviously love the fanatic, but I was like, we make a little too much of the fanatic.
And now you're like, we don't make enough. Honestly,
then you have kids. You're like, I get it.
You're like, the fanatic is the best thing
he's
about
best.
This team. Like, yeah, like he brings them in, man. Like he does. Like he brings them in, and then once they're there, they're in. You know,
he's
and
the first player they love.
Yeah, it's true. You're right. It's such a good way to put it. Like, so shout out to the fanatic.
Shout out to the fanatic
and his good friend Tom Burgoyne.
Yes,
awesome.
Of course.
Awesome
of course.
Stuff. All right, let's get to. By the way, real quick, because we'll get to take back coming up in a minute, but. I do think we had 33 minutes into the pod, 32 minutes in the pod. It is pretty crazy that something that happened like once ever, maybe, and only once since 1971 in the sport, and we haven't even brought it up yet. Jack, we saw a gay man catcher's interference. Like, and it was so great too, because it goes to the replay, and I was sitting there with Emily, and it's so clear that it was catcher's interference. Like, and usually when the batter is that emphatic about it, like they know if they hit a glove, they could feel it. But like, you see the replay, and it's, like, clear, and I turn to Emily, I'm like, we're going to win this game right now. I'm like, this is weird, and it felt weird in the moment, and as it was happening, I was like, this probably never happens. I would have never guessed that it had not happened in the sport since 1971.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty wild, man. Thoughts on just a wild one on Monday?
Well, so what I found so baseball-y about it was you had a game end on a catcher's interference, first time in 71. In the same month, the Phillies got walked off in an inside the park home run. By a catcher.
Yeah, that's a great call.
By a catcher. And then the next night, you stole home with another catcher's interference
which
balk.
The craziest part about that is that's what the Johnny Bench one in 1971 was. What happened was it was Manny Mota stealing home. Johnny Bench jumps out too quickly. Now, Manny Mota was out in that case. He didn't score like Harper. I mean, he did, technically, but he wasn't. Like, it looked like Harper would have been safe anyway. But he jumps out, impedes the batter, and the catcher's interference, game ends. So a different way of it ending, like hitting the bat on the catcher's mitt may have never happened before an end of baseball game, which is crazy.
You said Mota. The first person I thought of was Guillermo Mota, who is like probably my go-to. There's a lot of go-to middle 2000s relievers.
Yeah, don't say your go-to. You have 800,000. Like basically 95% of the guys who pitch in the—
Al Albuquerque, Guillermo Mota.
Al Albuquerque's a great one.
And like LaTroy Hawkins. Like those are like
well, LaTroy was
pitched all over the place.
Yeah,
all
beast.
Octavio Dotel.
Sure,
may he rest in peace.
R.I.P.
There is
he's
like
a great one.
God, I love baseball now. I just wish I could back and like appreciate I wish I would.
Remember
young
the
Jack.
Remember the Jabba Chamberlain moment.
Oh my God!
I thought Jabba Chamberlain was going to be the best reliever I'd ever seen in my life.
I was like,
this guy. Look at this. And then the Nats.
And then it was
over.
And then Pedro Feliz took him deep.
It was done.
So actually, Gage Wood sort of reminds me stuff-wise of a young Jabba.
I could see that. That's actually a really fascinating comp.
Shorter. Like he's shorter than Jabba. Jabba's much bigger.
So I saw Gage, the game I was at was when he was there to sign the contract and stuff. I saw him. So we did the fantastic auction thing. Shout out to what a great
humble
event
brag
they do every
year.
I didn't. I'm just saying.
Gage Wood and
you know what? I was
field.
Saying we were on the field.
Yeah.
Yes.
And humble brag. Yeah.
First time I've ever done it. It was a really neat experience to watch batting practice. No big deal to me. You're right. I'm so cool. So I was just like, yeah, I belong here. Saw Gage Wood. He's tiny. I was actually really shocked at how like he's compact and he looks like stout, but he was like not. Big. I was really surprised by it, but he's intense. Like you can almost see it. Like he's one of those guys you just look at and you're like, all right, buddy, you're intense, aren't you?
Don't want to cross you.
Zach, seriously, it was like that kind of vibe. Yeah. Where it's just like
psycho.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, he's psycho.
You could feel it. Like you could feel it just across the field there.
Well, because Salisbury asked him at the meeting.
I saw. It was so good.
And he's like, How often do you think about one guy you hit or whatever or walked? And he's like, I think about it every day.
Every day. And he said it so seriously and intense. It wasn't. He's like, oh, every day. He's like, I think about it every day.
Yeah. So
start foaming at the mouth.
So I know, again, it's why I know. I totally understand. It's a long shot for him to be in the bullpen.
I don't know if it is.
In September. But I need that lunatic in Philadelphia as soon as possible.
Like, I agree with you. I think the odds are under 50. If you had to lean one way, I think it's unlikely. But I think it's a lot closer to 50% than I would have. Like, I think he's got a. I think it's a. I think they drafted him with it absolutely being a thought in mind that it's a potentially thing that could happen.
So the thing, so there's a couple things. He had the shoulder thing that he came back from, so that's a concern. But you hear like it being talked about with Gage Wood, and while I agree, I think he has to develop some pitches, and they want to develop him as a starter. He's also pretty dang developed. It's 97 with a whiteout curveball. I think that could play in the bullpen. So I know the Phillies will never say right now, right? They'll never say right
ever.
Now.
Ever. And you put an expectation on a kid that is so unfair in that situation.
They're not going to say right now, okay, he could help us in September. Because what's the point, right? I just, if he goes down to, let's say they start him bang right in Clearwater, blowing guys away. Mm-hmm. And whatever's happening at the deadline, we'll see. I mean, the deadline could totally change it.
Of course. But like if they find a deal where they can get two separate relievers that work, like it, then they, you know. Totally. It's a need thing as well.
But I just think that they're, it's not, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities.
I agree.
I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities.
I agree.
They will never say, well, we're thinking about it. They're going to say, we're developing as a starter.
Of course. And they should. And that's the right thing. And you don't want to put that pressure on that kid where now all of a sudden.
I think he wants the pressure. I think he wants, I can already envision him having a big moment in a playoff game.
I can too, man. Look, again, he threw in the College World Series, he threw a 19 strikeout no hitter where his only reason was no hitters could hit a guy.
No, and it was Murray State.
I don't care, dude. I mean, that 19 strikeouts, like against a team that's in the College World Series, like I don't care if they're a surprise team or whatever. They're playing in the College World Series. It's not like it was against, no offense, Bloomsburg or something. Oh. Like, they're playing a team that's in the College World Series. Like, come on. Right. Like,
and the start before, I think he struck out 12.
Like, he has something. Like, we'll see if he makes it or not. But, like, the stones part of it, the toughness part of it, like, it feels like he's got that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah,
totally.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
All right, let's take back it.
All right, so nothing too crazy in here. More trade deadline stuff.
Again, reminder, Sunday.
Perfect deadline. I might have three additions.
Only three?
No, I don't know.
Like you had five last time. Yeah. It might have been like six. So you're like, all right, here's my third baseman edition. Now I have one that focuses on, now I've got one. This one's just for fun, guys. Yeah. This one I tried to see if I could all get players who played in the SEC to trade for. This time I decided,
I usually do a realistic one and then an unrealistic one.
But I feel like last year for the first time you did like five or something. I feel like that was the first time ever you had done like, maybe it was like four. But you definitely had like, normally you do two. I feel like you upped it last year.
I'm just saying. Soroka's probably available. Uh-oh. If you want to bring him back.
Mike Soroka.
Too good. Too good of a bet. Matthew Fisher signed. Big deal. Big deal. A million over slot, which is insane. Not a totally
shout
a million.
Shout out to our guy Preston getting things done.
It was like 250 was his slot, and he signed for 1.25.
Mm-hmm.
So they backed up the Brinks truck for him.
And look, that's a massive pick. I mean,
was the highest? It's the highest number ever in the seventh round.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I mean, look, I believe I saw that they paid him what the like number is for the 68th overall pick, essentially. So, and look, to the point. I mean, that guy doesn't fall to the seventh round. If people think he's going to sign, like if people knew going into the draft he was going to sign, he would have gone way earlier. That's a huge win. And yes, the baseball draft is so freaking weird, but I'll take it. In this case, it worked out. You know.
I would much rather have gotten him in the seventh round than the second round. Like I just the upside is just it's not as high leverage of a pick.
Yeah.
Is I guess the point. So do people are I feel like I've talked about this guy and I get blank looks out of you and it goes over everyone's head. Do people understand Rob Refsnyder yet or no?
So I get it. I don't think people do. No, I don't. I mean, they just
Ref
saw
Snyder
him. They
is,
just saw him. Got
Ref,
a little taste.
He's going to be the next Duvall and the next Harrison Bader. I need Rob Refsnyder in a freaking Phillies uniform.
You love Rob Refsnyder.
Rob Refsnyder rakes against lefties.
Yeah.
Just get me an outfielder that rakes against lefties. That's Steve Pierce. You want to go get Steve
Pierce?
That's Rob Refsnyder.
You're right. We've been talking about this. That kind of move, like, that's that type of move, without a doubt. Yeah.
Bring me Ref.
Yeah.
Ref Duran and Chad.
Man, is Adam Duvall still around? It's such a shame.
I know.
Like, if I could pick one player who is never a Philly to be a Philly, it might be Adam Duvall.
That's what many people say. Yeah, many people are like, the one guy. Not Trout, not Ohtani.
I'm saying, you know, he should have been a Philly. It's a shame.
Adam Duvall.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think about trading for O'Neill Cruz?
Wait, is he available?
Yeah.
Okay, so interesting.
I think
to play shortstop?
No, to play center field.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they've checked in on O'Neill Cruz.
Really?
I
mean, I'd be fascinated. What does he have, like 40 steals this year? He's been running a lot. Like.
So he's hitting 215.
Is he? Yeah. I mean, he's a huge man with lots.
He's been benched multiple times for not running to first base.
Which, so I have not been following the Pirates at all this year. I've been like checked out.
They've been playing good ball, man. Well, he's hitting 219 now. Sorry.
Okay, but he has a lot of steals, right?
So he has 33.
See, I knew it was close to 40. I'm in that range.
He has 123 strikeouts in 91 games.
Wow. Whoa. So he's like.
He's got 16 home runs. He's kind of, I mean, he's been pretty much.
He's a lefty, which sucks.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And he just does. Hold on.
And he's not a natural center fielder. I mean, he has been a shortstop his whole life.
So against lefties. You want to hear.
I can't. I'm sure he's been raking against lefties.
He's hitting 128 with a 221 slugging percentage.
Oh, my God. That is hard to do.
Dude, that's like the trade for Rojas.
Wow.
471 OPS.
That is like Rojas numbers. Yeah.
One home run against lefties this year. Now against righties, to his credit, he has 15 home runs and 251 with an 834 OPS. Good player.
So he's a platoon player, is what you're saying.
Yeah. The upside is obviously insane.
Yeah, the upside's insane. But I don't think the Pirates are just going to give him away.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to sign a second contract there.
And the Pirates are dumb, so maybe you take advantage of that. You know, I don't know.
I don't know. The Cruz Bednar, I don't know.
That's the friggin' Rodolfo Castro package on steroids,
sure,
essentially. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Falter went seven innings against Tigers.
I love when you do the point. People can't see us right now because we're on camera, but Jack will do his little
thing. Yeah, yeah.
He's like, by the way.
So
it's one of my favorite things.
Cruz would cost a lot.
I probably wouldn't do it.
I probably wouldn't.
Like, I love the upside, and you're right. Like, it's a rare thing that I think it'd be a smarter move for a team like the Royals or this or that or one of these other teams that could take the risk. Like, the Phillies need a guy who can come in right now and contribute and help this team. I like the upside play of it, but I need to make a now side play, if you know what I'm saying.
Although, again, I still would take Luis Robert. I love how.
Oh, I know you would. You are the Luis. Honestly, I will say, I think
people get so mad about Luis Robert.
I think it is
Robert.
Probably better for you if the Phillies don't get Luis Robert.
No,
no. You know what I mean? I know. Like, because it could go well. But it also could be like something that like ruins your life for 2 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Because you kind of put yourself out there with that one.
Well, again, he's hitting 299 against lefties with his.
But
I love the blind resume.
So I am not a huge fan of them. Like, it's funny to me. But the one you did was hilarious when you put down the numbers against lefties. Would you like to say it's like 91% or whatever? And you're like, glad to see 91% of you want Luis.
Yeah.
I just love because the whole time you're setting it up to be able to do. Glad to know.
Yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You made fun of me, but you all want him. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. Because the Luis Robert thing drives me nuts.
It's so good. Before I saw the follow-up tweet, I knew exactly where it was all heading. I saw the numbers. This is beautiful.
Thank you. Okay. And to make my point clear on Luis Robert, I'm not saying that I want to like trade Aiden Miller for him. Like, and he's like the guy.
You want to trade Mick Abel?
I want to trade like Mick Abel and like if he's not even my first option. Like, my first option is Kwan and
Duran.
And Duran. Ones, yeah. And if Buxton's available, I'm just saying that the guy's in the worst position, like on the worst team in baseball. And I refuse to believe that if he gets in front of that crowd. And he can still hit like eighth if you want to hit him eighth. Still play Gold Glove center field, 25 plus stolen bases, and he's heating up at the plate. He's heating up at the plate right at the right time.
So I do think the change of scenery thing is a great point. Like, the White Sox are an all-time bad organization. Like, obviously last year, literally wins, losses wise. But I mean, how many stories have we heard about the way they go about their business, the way they treat their players, and the way the infrastructure is, and all that type of stuff? And Ryan Serf couldn't care less about that franchise and all that stuff. Like, I do think there is something compelling about the idea of getting a guy away from a horrible, horrible situation and putting him in a much better situation, and that alone being something that could change a guy's play. Like, I believe in that. Like,
yes, you should.
Athletes are humans, Jack.
Oh,
no, people don't talk about it. I am not giving up anything, like, to your point. I'm not giving up one of our big four guys, the ones we always talk about. Like, even Crawford, I wouldn't love to give up Robert, but you could maybe talk me into that. But if you can get him for a package that is able and some interesting upside guys or whatever, like, then you're talking about language.
So And here's a comp for people out there. Because again, now I feel
you
like,
love a good comp.
Now I feel like I have to be the Luis Robert guy.
Yeah. Now you get serious about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy, before he got picked up in a trade deadline, was playing for a dead franchise. And this is at this point the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
He was hitting 192 with a 658 OPS and 13 home runs. Whatever. Or for 13 home runs. He gets to a winning team, winning culture, winning situation. And he ends the year hitting 269 with an 882 OPS. And winning World Series MVP. Do you know who that is?
Carlos Beltran.
Jorge Soler.
It was close. There you go.
Soler was in a horrible spot.
Carlos Beltran never won a World Series MVP. He might have been Houston. I was trying to think of someone who was a Royal.
No, Beltran was on the 04.
Might have struggled with the Royals at the end. I don't think he ever struggled with the Royals. I was just trying to think of a Royal.
No, Beltran was on the 04 Astros, not the 05 Astros. I don't think so.
So he didn't win one. Oh, okay. So he might have never won one. Yeah, you're right.
The Astros didn't win it.
No, they didn't. No. I was thinking, yeah, you're right. He didn't win with the Astros. Did Beltran ever win one?
Beltran
such a good playoff player.
Did he win with the Astros?
That's what I was asking.
No, the 17 Astros.
That's what I meant. I was talking about the 17, not the 04 Astros.
About the
04. No, I was talking about the 17 Astros.
Because 04 Beltran in the postseason was a problem.
Well, what a stud. Anyway.
Beltran is probably.
Jorge Soler is a great call.
I think Beltran.
People forget he was a Royal at all.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like.
Johnny Damon and Carlos Beltran. But that's where to give you the era of baseball I was thinking of. When you started that, those are the two guys who were Royals who went on to success.
Nice.
Other places.
Could have been talking about Mike Sweeney when he came
could
here.
Could that was
a
legendary Phillies career. Mike
yes.
Sweeney,
That's back when the waiver deadline happened.
God, I love.
Don't
Mike
you miss
Sweeney.
The waiver
what
deadline?
What a guy raked. Of course I do. Are you kidding me? Like, it's so annoying that the rosters are essentially locked after this. Like, okay, cool. No more trades. No more like waivers moves. That's cool.
Verlander on the waiver deadline.
Yeah.
That's when real GMs are real
smart
GMs.
Moves are made from July 31st to September 1st.
Kids today.
We're saying here.
Kids today don't remember.
They don't even know. You could add to your playoff roster through trade till August 31st. That wasn't a thing. You didn't know that.
They don't remember loogies. They don't remember.
It's a shame. That's why we're here. We gotta remind them.
They don't remember 18 innings.
That's why they gotta buy your book. Ring the bell. Ringthebellbook.com. The Ring the Bell book, of course. Check it out, and you can learn about some of your freaking history of your team.
That's right. Deep, deep, deep history of your team.
That's right.
Yeah. So. I don't know. Dante Norris hitting like 339.
I saw your tweet again. I love when I catch these tweets. And then that was pretty good numbers, though. Was it 33-game sample size? I love a good 33-game sample size.
And it's still how I do
it. I really like that. I love in the last 19 games.
So a little inside the brain.
Please.
As to why I specifically.
As we always say, dangerous place to be, but we'll go there.
Specifically chose the last 33 games. It's because
you're a big Larry Bird fan. Is that what it was?
Because 33 games ago, he had like a 4-hit game, and the game before that, he won like 0-for-5.
Yeah, I've done this too. I know. Let me look back. Okay, this is good, bad. Oh yeah, cut it right there. It's good. Oh, 34 games. That's what it was. Great.
Yep.
Oh, it's a 12-game sample size. Yeah, I love it.
339 average, 504 slug, 926 OPS, 3 homers, 22 RBI.
I'll see the 504 slug.
Surprising.
Yeah, like because when
triples
we
in there, a lot of a couple
yeah,
home runs.
Yeah, when we had talked about Nori and even had Barbara on and talked about, like, I wouldn't have expected at this point him to be a 504 slugging type guy.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So Aiden's really struggling in Reading. It is draining my soul.
Oh, I know.
We
know.
I need him to heat up. And I need him not get traded, but he might
get
traded.
It's probably stressful right now. You're those kids.
I know.
Like, it's like you have no control over it. And all of a sudden, you just be like a freaking pirate or something.
I
it's
know.
Like, well, that's great. Yeah. I went from being a Philly to a pirate.
Now I could get
sick.
Could get to the big leagues quicker.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna get it done. Yeah.
But so the Aiden thing is killing my soul. Dude, Bryce looks great.
Great. Thank you for bringing that up. We shouldn't have gotten here saying it. Bryce is like super locked in, and I 350 last night.
The youngest
500
player.
back on.
500
on.
Watches back.
Back maybe. I'm feeling good again.
He tried to do a little bit too much in the eighth or whatever.
But
the
you
ninth.
Know what? But he's like and it's fun. It's funny because like it does. Every time we get into one of these conversations because of whatever injury he's had or whatever, and it keeps happening, but we get into the like, is this it? This is the we're never gonna see that guy again, and then it's just back and. Shows us that guy. It's like a switch flips, and then all of a sudden he's a
stealing home.
It's
and
awesome.
He's stealing
I know.
Home and
just the balls to do that.
I know. Well, because like I brought the him talking about how he's the best player in baseball.
I know.
Or whatever with Ike and Spike, and they were like, oh, that's obviously about the contract. And I was like,
what?
I was like, it's not about the contract.
At no point did I think it was about.
It wasn't even in the realm.
It wasn't even in my back of my mind.
He brought it up right when he had a good game, not because he wants to get paid, because I think he still wants to hype himself up.
Yes, we talked about it. I really believe that first one was because he needed to get himself hyped up. He needed to remind himself who he was and what he's doing, and it's working. Keep doing it.
Yeah, he looks great. So thank God. I mean,
it changes everything.
While the starting pitching is faltering, at least Bryce getting back to being Bryce.
Well, it's like we talked about, even if the starting pitching weren't faltering, we said it before, we'll say it again, they can't win the World Series without Bryce Harper. They just can't. They are not a good enough, they can make trades that, look, anything can happen in baseball, Bryce has to be good for them to win. Mm-hmm. Just does. Just is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did the Phillies officially win the Curtis Mead for Chris Sanchez?
Yeah, how about that? Would you like a little, to take some of the things you said back over time? Because it took you a while to get there. I mean, you were a little morose about losing Curtis Mead for a while there. I was like, oh, my God. Can't believe we lost Curtis Mead.
I know.
Worked out.
Yeah. I liked Falter more than Sanchez.
Yeah. No, we had some bad Sanchez takes.
Yeah.
Not me. I always liked him. Well,
Right down the middle. But I'm very happy for Chris Sanchez.
Me too.
He seems like the man.
He does. And I'm happy he signed the contract. Oh, he did. He's my favorite Philly because of that.
If he was going to free agency.
That's what I mean. His contract is the one thing that kind of can pull together. They actually got one like that.
I know.
And to your point, he does seem like a good dude. He clearly works hard. To get from where he was even just 2 years ago in 2023 is that 2023?
Well, 23 started the game down
in San Diego, right?
No.
Or no, 22 I'm thinking of. In 22 when he played against San Diego and came in relief in that game, and then 23 and really to get to what he's been the last 2 years, I mean, that takes a lot of work. It's not just, oh, wow, it happened. It's because he worked to make it happen, and he worked really hard, and he deserves a lot of credit.
Dude, he's turned into an ace.
Yeah. He's one of the five best pitchers in baseball, seven best pitchers in baseball, whatever you want to say. He's on that list. He's a Cy Young contender.
I know.
He's freaking awesome, man.
Best 1-2 punch.
His changeup might be the best pitch in baseball, the best single pitch in baseball.
So I think it's... At least changeup-wise, it's currently
Oh, it's definitely the best
out.
Changeup. That's not even a question.
And Scooball.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Scooball, I just don't really count these things. He just seems so
I feel like Scooball has gotten to the point where no one even really knows who he is, but they're just he's amazing.
Yeah, he's the best.
I mean, everyone knows Skeens.
Yeah.
But, Scooball still feels no one talks about how good he is.
Which is funny because he really is fun to watch. He is a big lefty, throws hard. that's my favorite type of pitcher to watch, The big overpower, he's not Randy Johnson, but those type of pitchers, those are freaking awesome.
You know who else isn't Randy Johnson? Mm. Seth Johnson.
It was a tough night.
Yeah. Right.
Well, especially because of all the things last night, you don't really blame the bullpen. The bullpen was pretty solid. I mean, I know Lazar gave up the run, but it was the inherited runner there. Strom was good. Kirkring was good. They've been getting outs. So
yeah.
The bullpen, it's not good enough for the playoffs. We know that. But I do think let's give a little credit around. I think these, certainly Kirkring and Strom have rounded it for him, and they deserve a lot of credit. And I just think Tanner Banks, mm-hmm. I know he's taking some beatings on this pod, but
good.
He's got some stones too. He'll step into a spot like he did last night, and that was a spot, and he got out of it, So it's nice to see those guys back.
And you need to learn if you can trust a Daniel Robert. You need to learn if you can trust
Lazar.
A Seth Johnson, a Max Lazar. Now,
I think and Robert, tough night for him last night. That was a bad spot. I had to pull him after that. Couldn't even get through the inning. So, but Lazar, a couple nights.
Yeah.
Night, he's got
I'm a Lazarman.
Some stones out there.
Yeah, goes up to 97.
Yeah.
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 Good stuff.
All right, you got anything else?
Nah. Perfect deadline Sunday.
Sunday, check us out. Perfect deadline. Until then, he's Rhythm Seltzer.